after the success of his autobiography last year, I'm talking here about Morrissey. No, he's not our guest. It's been reported that this week, and confirmed, by the way, by Penguin Books, that Morrissey is set to publish his debut novel next month. Now, by doing so, he joins a long list of musicians who put pen to paper and produce works of fiction. I'm not talking about his life. I'm not talking about autobiography. I'm talking about something entirely different, like a song that's now 200 pages or something like that. Or maybe it's not like that. In fact, Simon, is it like that?
Basically, yes.
Oh, okay. Simon Mars here, by the way, and he's been assessing the works of various musicians who have gone off to do their other than writing song bit, which is writing a decent novel or a bad novel or chick bit or whatever it happens to be. So, what are we talking about here? Not autobiographies.
Not autobiographies, but this is definitely, it's, I suppose, spurred on by Morrissey. Morrissey wrote his autobiography, hugely successful. There's some great stories in it because Morrissey's an interesting bloke, but the style of how it's written, there's entire pages of Morrissey's autobiography that are made up of one sentence, you know, but he does have a definite, there's a creative flow that's going on there, and there's a presumption among all musicians that, look, I can write a 3-minute pop song, so a 200 page book is going to be no trouble at all to me. Some of them do it very well, some of them you know, you can get away with the metaverse and stuff for 2 or 3 minutes with a catchy chorus, but when it's a book there has to be something else to it, you know, you can't do chapter, chapter, chorus, break, chorus. You know, there has to be something that goes through it. And that's why when it happens sometimes, it doesn't necessarily happen too well. And what seems to happen as well is that some musicians, they're that famous that no publication house or no editor is going to say to them, you know, that was grand in a song in the 70s, but as a book, it's a bit crappy.
So what you're going to say is they're going to publish anyway.
Oh, absolutely, yes. Yeah. If you're big enough, this is going to be published.
Right.
You know, and there's one of the first examples that I ever remember reading anything of was John Lennon. Obviously, Beatles, Bigger Than Jesus, all that stuff. And John Lennon wrote a book. This would have been mid-1960s. And it was a sort of a tribute to Lewis Carroll merged with some of his own writing and some of his own stories. And it was, you look through it and you read it, you kind of go, okay, there's elements of interest in here. But really, it's not actually a book. It's not actually a story. But because he's John Lennon, it's all right.
John Lennon in his own right.
That's the one, yes.
I mean, the thing about something like John Lennon and doing something like that in those days is, I would imagine, there wasn't an awful lot of ancillary stuff being done in the 60s.
True. Right?
So therefore, anybody, like, for instance, there was movies. He made a movie, How I Won the War. Let's get John Lennon into this and became famous because he's in it and that kind of thing. Let's make a movie about the Beatles. So they made Help and they made A Hard Day's Night before that. Let's do anything we can do anywhere.
Yes.
And then, of course, let's sell pillowcases with the Beatles on it and all that sort of thing. So he might as well write a book. Or, John, you have all those little drawings there from school. Let's make a book out of it.
Yeah, and that's the thing. And there's an element of branding in it for some people. But I think for an awful lot of these guys, they just see it, guys and girls, they just see it as something else. It's the dream for them, as they want to go on. Ryan Adams is big into that. He's the whole idea of that. Look, I always wanted to write books. I wasn't able to get a book published, so I decided, right, I'm going to become a musician. This I know how to do, but my real dream is to write books.
Oh, that's Ryan Adams, by the way, not Brian Adams. Okay, now, Morrissey's book, it's called List of the Lost. Do you know anything about it?
I do not.
Yeah, really? Nobody does yet, do
no,
they?
No, that's the thing.
We just know it's a work of fiction.
Yeah, it's a closely guarded secret, but he has been talking about this. Once, for years, he has been talking about writing novels, you know, and he said this is, he will talk about, when you hear Morrissey starting to talk about himself in the third person, you know, he almost goes into novel form already. But on this one, he has kept it pretty much under wraps as to what it's going to be.
Penguin having read his own autobiography, not so much the stories, which are, we're not what we're talking about here, but the way it's written means that the thumbs up, maybe a good look.
I think it's going to be very interesting, if nothing else. It may be dense. You know, his autobiography is great stories, but is very dense, and as I say, it's made up of incredibly long sentences. But
Exposition and explanation.
Really, really worth a read.
All right, okay, fair enough. Well, then we take a look for that from Morrissey. Is it out before Christmas? Do we know, or out by next year?
It's due out quite soon. Okay. They've said soon, anyway. Yes.
Okay, well, List of the Lost is what it's going to be called. So let's take a look at a few other rock types, music types who've written fiction. Now, we're not talking about writing about themselves. Go on.
Nick Cave.
And again, there's a lot of fiction when they write about themselves.
Nick Cave.
Well, you have to start there,
This is it. Yeah. And you should start with Nick Cave, because Nick Cave, once again, by extension, he has lived the life, of course, but he also he loves being in character, and he loves the idea of characters. So he has a natural leaning towards fiction. So when he sat down to write a novel, I think his most successful novel so far is one called The Death of Bunny Munro.
Yeah.
And The Death of Bunny Munro is probably probably not a book that a young person should possibly read.
I read it.
Did you?
Yeah.
And did you enjoy it?
I thought it was awful. So I didn't like it at all. I mean, like, to me, like, Nick is the nearest thing to God over the last 20 years in some ways, but I didn't like the book at all. In fact, funny thing is, he did a gig at Vicar Street where he read from the book, and he read bits, and he had the dirty three behind him as opposed to the bad seeds, and he invited questions and stuff from the audience. The first person to ask a question was an Australian woman. Sweet mother of God, he killed her.
Really?
It was really like, whoa. And I thought the night went downhill from there, even though a lot of people would find it fascinating. Different kind of night out, musician on stage, packed Vicar Street and everything. Like, it was a brilliant gig to be at in one way because it was different, but I didn't like the book at all.
It was a
nasty, nasty little book about the salesman going around having sex with weird, it's just odd.
Basically, the guy plays he's a sociopath, really.
Yeah.
And he goes around and he abuses his wife and he drags his kid around and it's a very nasty book where you can see it absolutely as coming from the mind of Nick Cave.
Oh, listen, you know, I'll tell there's funny you mentioned that because you didn't mention his other book, which, by the way, I have a hard copy signed by Nick saying good old Dave sort of stuff. I just have to say that if anybody wants to buy it.
Was that a name YouTube? Dropping on the ground?
There's going to be a lot more name dropping before we're out of here. Anyway, so the point is the first one, and the ass saw the angel.
Yeah.
Again, mother of God, a vicious kind of stuff of a guy getting revenge who's been kind of abused and whatever, but it's actually pretty good. I quite like that one.
There you are. Nick Cave, but Nick Cave, once again, naturally you could think, okay, there's going to be some good storytelling here. Louise Wiener.
Nick Cave is also, don't forget, Nick Cave has written all stuff for movies as well.
Yes.
I mean, he's branched out into a million different areas, so you allow Nick Cave to go there. Whether you like it or not, though, is a different thing.
Well, that's
Louise Wiener from Sleeper.
Yeah, but there are people who you'll give a pass to. Now, Louise Wiener from Sleeper, big in the 1990s, big Britpop band.
Yeah, they won a great album.
I think I have to say I was quite the fan. But she kind of writes novels in a sort of a
Let's be really sexist for a second. She's really good looking. That helps.
Yes. Yeah. But she writes books in a sort of almost like a Nick Hornby sort of a style. That's sort of whimsical to the story. Now, where she fits into, I suppose, a subcategory of authors who've written books that are slightly influenced by themselves. As in, one of her most famous books that she's written is all about, this guy, he's struggling, a struggling musician, you know, works in a video shop, trying to get ahead. Everybody's telling him.
Still
fiction. Everybody's telling him he has to go and he has to grow up and all that sort of stuff. But the books she's written are actually pretty good.
Yeah, you know, that's what she does now, and she's getting praise all over the place and has been for the last 15 years or so.
She is well worth a read. But again, you wouldn't necessarily think, isn't she's not necessarily a Nick Cave sort of a character, but definitely an interesting book. Gloria Estefan. Her off the Miami Sound Machine and all that stuff. Yes.
Right.
Now, she's one of a number of musicians who've gone on to write children's books. Right? A lot of them have gone on to write children's books. Gloria Estefan's children's book, her most famous one is called The Magically Mysterious Adventures of Noel the Bulldog.
Missed that.
Right, okay, but it is. But if you have kids, this is a really good book, right?
You've read it, sorry. Yeah, it's good, isn't it?
It is a very, very good book, and it's one of those ones that you can tell that she has. It's not just necessarily an ear for a good story or an eye for a good story, but because she has written songs in the past, she has an idea of how a story should flow, you know, a really, really good structure in it. But Gloria Estefan's Magically Mysterious Adventures of Noel the Bulldog is a very, very good one. Paul McCartney also got into the children's story writing as well, as did Madonna. Madonna's one actually went down very well. So there's quite a few of them have got into this.
It just so happens that we have Madonna on the line here, and she's going to read us a little bit of her own book.
Lhotse Dikasha. Long ago, and quite a distance away, there lived a rich merchant who went by the name of Lhotse Dikasha. Lhotse was by far the richest man in the country. He had everything that money could buy. But there was a teeny tiny problem. No matter how much money Lhotse Dikasha made, he wasn't happy. No matter how many grand castles, fast horses, or fancy carriages he bought, he was still a gloomy old sourpuss. One day, when Lhotse could not take being unhappy for one more second, he cried out, "Enough is enough! I can't take it anymore." You see, deep down inside, Lhotse was a good person. But being happy remained a complete mystery to him.
Okay, and when you read it, you say, you just said there that you read that last night. Did you mean it in the
I didn't do the ice cream man, the enough, it's enough of voice now.
Lots of Dakasha. He was a rich man. Okay,
but Madonna's book isn't bad. Like, and she got, I think she got a 5-book series out of it in the end, but definitely is one of the better ones in there. We were mentioning Paul McCartney because we mentioned John Lennon earlier on, and McCartney wrote High in the Clouds, which is a book about a squirrel who loses his mom and goes around sort of chasing happiness and stuff. And it's I put it on the list as all right. You know, once again, he has a pass because he probably has enough interesting stuff to be able to write about. It's no Hey Jude or whatever, but it's good. It's good. So Paul McCartney gets an okay on this one.
Okay, Ryan Adams, by the way, like you mentioned, Ryan Adams, Hello Sunshine, Infinity Blues, is that what that one's called? Like, is he any good?
He is. And Ryan Adams is one of those who's actually got himself quite a few, I suppose, will get commercial acclaim because we played the Madonna clip there and people will go, oh my God, it's a book from Madonna. I must listen, you know, or I must buy it, I must read it. With some people who are probably slightly lesser known artists, and the like of Ryan Adams, who would be obviously well known within his fan base, but not the mega stardom, have got themselves fairly good critical acclaim as well for the books. And Ryan Adams definitely gets qualified as somebody who's allowed to continue to write books. And I suppose on a similar vein then is Josh Ritter.
Right.
And Josh Ritter, for those who don't know, he'd be a man who would sort of tell stories through his songs. He'd be very much of that, you know, the Great American Songbook
Bright's
sort of style.
Passage.
Yes, Bright's Passage. Right. And Bright's Passage is strange. It is just one of the strangest things. I saw Ryan Adams play about 2 years ago in the Pavilion Theatre in Dunleary, and he mentioned the book. He mentioned Bright's Passage.
You're talking Josh Ritter?
Yes.
You just said Ryan Adams.
Oh, excuse me.
I get confused. So Bright's Passage is the book by Josh Ritter.
So anyway, he mentioned the book.
I'm Burning the Midnight Lamp and I'm definitely writing a novel.
No, he had said, look, and this was something that was inspired by something when I was writing Bright's Passage. So I went and I read the book afterwards. It is the strangest, one of the strangest books you're ever going to read. Now, a huge amount of Josh...
He's got a bullet in this shoulder and an angel on the other one.
And there's a horse involved and all sorts of
is
things.
There?
His friend is in the form of a horse. And you know when you're getting into musicians writing books, when things happen to be in the form of something else. So it's a friend in the form of a squirrel or a horse or a small bulldog or a puppy or whatever it is. So you get a lot of that that's going on. But Josh Ritter's book is well worth a read, but it is distinctly strange. But once again, he can get away with it, I suppose, because the fact that so much of his songwriting is that storytelling style. And I think because he does that, once again, he gets a pass.
Yeah, I mean, like you can say, this, like Bob Dylan, like some of his songs go on for 4 years. And like, so like that's a novel in itself kind of thing. He had a book, Tarantula, and he's had other things too, but I think that was, again, a 60s thing of...
There's a lot of adaptations as well. A lot of people take songs and have made them into books. So a lot of people have written, like whether it be Tom Waits songs or Leonard Cohen, although I know Leonard Cohen wrote books himself, but have taken Tom Waits songs or Beatles songs or, you know, very famous songs and have written books around them, and they've described them then as fiction as well. But once again, we won't...
Don't hear David Kidd talking to us earlier on there. Here's a text here. It sums it up right in the middle of all stuff about books. Ah, David Kidd. Kitzer, what a dreamboat. He must say, he does sound as if it was only about 5 seconds out of bed, all right, yeah?
No, he's still in bed.
He's still in bed, yeah, exactly. Okay, sorry, getting back to the books of people who are writing fiction in terms of being famous and all the rest of it. And you mentioned, like, Leonard Cohen is an obvious one in poetry. I mean, like, he came to me, he released his first album like about a year or two after the Beatles age-wise had broken up. So he was about 31. He was already old kind of thing because he had been a writer all the time. But we know that one. Give us some more that we might know.
Yeah, well, Alison Sudol is a fine frenzy as a musician. That's her, I suppose, her moniker as a musician, right? And she's all about, when a fine frenzy perform, there's always lots of sort of poetic and literary references. And there's quite a few musicians do that. You know, they'll use an awful lot of quotes. Even someone like BedX1 now, you know, would always be using bits, various quotes from the Bible and Shakespeare and all that sort of stuff. But she recently wrote a book which is called The Story of Pines, again, which is another one that fits into our sort of semi-children's literature anyway. And it's all about the little pine tree that could.
Really?
You know, but it's amazing because there's so many stories that are written by musicians that, funnily enough, end up being real underdog stories. Now, as to whether that's something that comes from the, you know, supposed introversion of musicians or whatever, but there's a pattern that really comes out of these, is that it's all all about, and in this case it's the little pine tree that could, and it's lovely, and she did the illustrations and all that stuff, so it's always worth a look. The Story of Pines is that one as well. Willie Vlotton out of Richmond Fontaine is always worth a read. Joe Prenice of the Prenice Brothers, and Dolly Parton, and this is, comes back to our songs that are written, or books that are written around a song. So Coat of Many Colours is obviously a big Dolly Parton song, but she wrote a book that's all around, really? That's all around that, and it's the whole idea, once again, this is the underdog stuff of growing up and being poor, and it's the jacket with all the patches and all that stuff, and the jacket I think is in is it Dollywood they call it?
Yeah,
the jacket is in Dollywood with the little ticket for the cleaning and everything that's on it, but she wrote an entire book around that, really? And the book is, while it's fiction, it's built around the story of a little girl who had nothing, and she had this coat of many colours because it was, you know, it was old and raggy, and that's where it went on from. But the book itself is actually, it's not bad. You know, the book is worth a read.
I'll take your word for it. I haven't read it. You haven't mentioned Bruce Dickinson. You know your man from, Iron Maiden.
Yes.
Now, Iron Maiden, he's very famous for flying airplanes and famous for quite a lot of things, actually. And probably the most famous thing to come out of the new wave of British heavy metal, besides Def Leppard or whatever, even if they ever were in the new wave of British heavy metal. But he wrote the book, The Adventures of Iffy Boat Race. Did you ever read that?
No, I didn't.
I read that.
Right.
It's hilarious. It's actually a bit of a laugh. It's about a kind of a rich guy who wants to stay rich, so he invites all the people to his house and basically takes their money. But it's pretty good, actually. He's a funny guy, Bruce. Well, he's
that's a good thing. I know one of the things that you think when you think about authors, probably in the normal run of things, you think about probably, you know, sort of middle class people who are sitting with a pot of coffee on, sitting with an old manual typewriter,
yeah,
you know, looking out the window and writing. When you get rock stars involved in it, you presume that other things perhaps come into play, and sometimes there are other substances come into play. And when you read some of the books, particularly that come out of musicians from the 60s and 70s, you get the feeling that as these books are being written, perhaps entertainment was being had extra in an extracurricular way, as well as what you might
normally
expect.
That's funny, because I remember I got that Blinking with Fist books, which is again fiction by Billy Corgan from Smashing Pumpkins. I never read it though. I have it somewhere at home, I know. See, these are the things I just don't.
Billy Corgan will take that personally, you know that.
Yeah, right, he will. I'm sure he will. Yeah. Well, I played, what do you call it, earlier on there, your man, I played The Decemberists,
yes,
Down by the Water, and your man Colin Molloy, whatever it's called, M-E-L-L-O-Y,
yes,
however,
yeah,
you pronounce his surname, he's got a book out called Wildwood. I'm only saying that because I was told that. I've never read it.
Okay, yeah. Okay. But I suppose when you come down,
it's fiction.
But you're back to bands again that are the more storytelling type of bands, you know. So the Decemberists would love their 6 minute, 7 minute long songs where they tell the story of a great American hero or whatever
and
it is.
And Steve Earle is always telling stories of people in the army who are great American heroes, and he's got a book out called I'll Never Get Out of This World Alive. Again, I haven't read that one either, but it's completely fiction as well.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Pete Townsend.
Oh yeah,
now, Pete Townsend's a man who's been around.
He worked for the publishers, didn't he?
He did, yeah. But he's been around the block a few times. Obviously, he published a lot of short stories, and he started to write a novel that I think he was publishing. This is quite recently. As he was writing, it was publishing bits of it on his website. You know, so you went back every week, you could get another passage or another chapter that was out of his book. But he wrote a collection of short stories. We're back to horses again, called The Horse's Neck. Right, and this comes back to what we were talking about, some of the extracurricular activities earlier on. Some of them kind of are vaguely sensible, like they're fiction, so you're allowed, you know, you're obviously given the license to basically muck around as much as you want. But some of the stories as you read them make a bit of sense. A lot of the stories that are in A Horse's Neck don't make a lick of sense at all, and you can only presume
so he was having fun.
But what happens with some of them is that, you know, they're having fun and it leads to this great sort of creative output. There's a lot that I've sort of looked through even in the last few days, and you go, okay, they're having a lot of fun, and it's meant that the stories, probably like a lot of the songs, are terrible.
Yeah, you see, I'm just trying to think in terms of the other way around here, because, like, by the way, 51552, I said 51551 earlier on. I wonder why I said that. Anyway, 51552 is our text. Just who are we leaving out here? We're not talking about, like, I mean, you could look at Keith Richards' book Life, or what do you call him, Mark Ammon's Tainted Life, and you could just say, like, they're the greatest, like, fantastic stories there.
Yeah.
Who needs fiction when you have this kind of thing, you know? But having said that, we're not talking about people's biographies.
No, but a lot of the time, remember, with rock stars, they can't remember. So it could be fiction, it could be as they choose to believe it. The Alien Ant Farm, right, not a band that would necessarily be, I would be a particularly huge fan of, but Paul Wentz from Alien Ant Farm went into deciding that he was going to go and he was going to become an author. And he was one of the ones who didn't necessarily get the commercial acclaim for it, but also got utterly panned, and at a time when probably Alien Ant Farm wouldn't necessarily have been critical darlings. I think this is something that he took very, very personally, because a huge amount of musicians, as I said at the very start, they think this is a natural extension of what their career is.
Yeah.
And when Paul Wentz from Alien Ant Farm released his book, it didn't go down well, didn't really sell many copies, you know, the critics absolutely panned it, and he took that very personally. Well, he would be of the Billy Corgan school, I think.
Right, okay, fair enough. I have the Billy Corgan book, but I never read it. But I don't have the Bride's Passage book by Josh Whittle. But he's saying, I know, because it got good reviews, that he's going to definitely write more books.
And I'm deserving it. I think he's, once again, it's one of those things that, because we're sound, we're allowing him to write more books. But just trust me, it's weird.
You would know Josh Whittle better than I would. So the songs would already suggest that he could do that because of the big long narratives. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's the thing. And he has an ability to tell a story. And even whether it's, you know, whether it's on stage, sort of in terms of an anecdote between songs, or whether it's the songs themselves.
Okay, I'd like to turn this thing inside out, though, and say that I'm just trying to think of who, obviously people would go Dylan and all the rest of it, but I'm just thinking of who makes music that really, like, is just the best kind of, like, long novel fiction stuff in 5 seconds, and that's Randy Newman to me. He can say something in a sentence that people could take a whole chapter to say, and he really has it nailed. So he's got it, but if there was no piano, that'd be great fiction.
That's it. Jimmy Buffett is probably one of the last ones that we'll mention. Jimmy Buffett has written massive amounts of stuff, and you get some musicians who decide that they need to write. So whether it's their, you know, you see these musicians who are incredibly prolific that they're releasing 2 albums a year or whatever it is. Somebody like Jimmy Buffett just writes nonstop, and whether it's fiction, whether it's songwriting, you know, whether it's essays, a huge amount of them go into the essays. And then we've avoided completely the land today of poetry as well. Is that musicians have written poetry? So you got your Patti Smiths and The World and His Mother who've written poems as well.
But Jimmy Buffett
is particularly prolific.
It's a big mistake you can make. I had a book of the lyrics of Bob Dylan kind of thing, you know, and as page poetry, my God, I could even go back to the fact that I'm poetry class when I was a teacher for a while. I tried it on a Friday, about 3 Fridays, but it nearly worked. But I'll tell you, page poetry of people like Dylan, it just doesn't work. You got to have the music. But I'll tell you a funny thing. I went to the Olympia about 4 or 5 months ago, whatever, and Van was playing, Van Morrison, and it was a really strange night. I was like, is this what rock has come to, where he sits in the middle and two guys on either side of him, me and Rankin and the guy who put his book together of his lyrics, and they interviewed him, and then he played a gig. Now the gig was one of the best I've seen him play in a long time. He was absolutely brilliant. And by the way, happy birthday, Van, on Monday.
Oh, he's 70, yeah.
Yeah, but anyway, the point about it is that it was just an interview about his life and his work and that, and they got into the idea of the book as well that was being sold in the foyer of the Olympia, and it was like, is this really, do we really want lyrics of these guys in a book and that? By the sugar, an album, you know. I don't know what it is. I'm a little bit distrustful. Having said that, Kinky Friedman has written a few. Like anybody who can write the great songs like "They Don't Make Jews Like Jesus Anymore" and all those fantastic songs that the Kinky. He's wacky and out there. And I read some book. I don't know. I can't remember what it's called. He was great. He was brilliant.
Okay, well, I think the key to all of this is really there isn't a natural extension from musician into authorship, but when it's done and it's done well, there is definitely a creative sharing that can go on, and definitely something that will work well. Too often nowadays, you tend to get musicians are being asked to write books in order to, as you said much earlier on, to reinforce the brand.
Yeah.
You know, whereas I think the ones that have worked out to be really well, and I think in fairness to Morrissey, is that it's not necessarily a branding thing for him. For him, there are things I need to say, and I'm going to put them out there. And whether that's 8 pages out of one sentence or not, then that's okay.
Yeah, it's ridiculous that I haven't read his book yet. I believe it's great.
It is. No, it's well worth it. Yeah. Well,
also, it's just you can do a list of his song titles. That'll be enough. All right, well, this is Simon Marr, good man yourself. Thank you very much indeed for dropping in. How's life with you, by the way?
All is good, thank you very much.
An afterthought. Okay, where are we? 29 minutes to midday.